टेक्नोलॉजी का नहीं समझ पाता। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna. We're on text number 12. And today's topic we'll be discussing Bhushana. Anybody knows what that means? Yeah, Bhushana. It's described in the verse Padam Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam. Is the supreme ultimate ornament of all ornaments. And we are reminded of somebody. Yeah. Ratna Bhushana. What does Ratna mean? And it's a valuable jewel. So Ratna is the jewel of jewels. So it refers to the devotee also. I just disappeared. Okay, so yeah. So just like Krishna is a jewel of all jewels, the devotees, because they're near Krishna, they become jewel-like. Or if you're engaged in devotional service, then you're also a jewel. So we'll talk about that. So today's verse. Yan marjalilo paikam swayoga. Maya balam darsayata grihitam. Vishma panam swasachaso bagarde. Padam padam bhushana bhushanangam. Yan marjalilo paikam swayoga. Maya balam darsayata grihitam. Vishma panam swasachaso bagarde. Padam padam bhushana bhushanangam. Yan marjalilo paikam swayoga. Maya balam darshayata grihitam. Vishma panam swasachaso bagarde. Padam padam bhushana bhushanangam. Yan marjalilo paikam swayoga. Maya balam darsayata grihitam. Vishma panam swasachaso bagarde. Param param bhushana bhushanangam. Yanmar Chalilo Paikam Swayoga. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Nambadam Bhushanam Bhushanam Bham. Yamarchadila Paikam Swayoga. Mayabalam Darshayata Guhitam. Vishmapanam Swasachaso Bagarde. Param Param Bhushana Bhushanangam. Vaishnavis. Yet, his eternal form, which Martya, mortal world, Lilaupaikam, just suitable for the pastimes, Swayoga Maya Balam, potency of the internal energy, Darsayata, for the manifestation, Grihitam, discovered. Bhishma Panam, wonderful. Swasya, of his own. Cha, and. Sobhagaridhe, of the opulent. Padam, supreme. Padam, ultimate stand. Bhushana, ornament. Bhushana Angam, of the ornaments. Actually, there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 21 chapter, text 100. And this verse is quoted. But it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada kind of translates it a little different, which actually brings it out more too. But it's the same thing. So for... let's see here. The couple words I'd like to see. So Vishma Panam, even producing wonder. And then Swasa, for himself. Subhagaride, of abundant good fortune. Padam, supreme. Padam, abode. Bhushana, of ornaments. Bhushana Angam, the limbs of which were the ornaments. So it's not like the ornaments make Krishna beautiful, but it's Krishna's body, his limbs, that make the ornaments beautiful. So I just imagine. So translation. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes are wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, his, Sri Krishna's, transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. Please repeat. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus his, Sri Krishna's, transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. So like I mentioned, the Madhyalila has another similar translation. I'd like to read that. To exhibit the strength of his own spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his pastimes in the material world. This form was wonderful even for him and was the supreme abode of the wealth of good fortune. Its limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body. So again, confirming. So, purport. In conformity with the Vedic hymns, Nityo Nityananam Chaitanas Chaitananam, the personality of Godhead is more excellent than all other living beings within all the universes in the material world. He is the chief of all living entities, and no one can surpass him or be equal to him in wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, or renunciation. When Lord Krishna was within this universe, he seemed to be a human being because he appeared in a manner just suitable for his pastimes in the mortal world. He did not appear in human society in his Vaikuntha feature with four hands because that would not have been suitable for his pastimes. But in spite of his appearing as a human being, no one was or is equal to him in any respect in any of the six different opulences. Everyone is more or less proud of his opulence in the world, in this world. But when Lord Krishna was in human society, he excelled all his contemporaries within the universe. When the Lord's pastimes are visible in the human eye, to the human eye, they are called prakata. And when they are not visible, they are called aprakata. In fact, the Lord's pastimes never stop, just as the sun never leaves the sky. The sun is always in its right orbit in the sky, but it is sometimes visible and sometimes invisible to our limited vision. Similarly, the pastimes of the Lord are always current in one universe or another. And when Lord Krishna disappeared from the transcendental abode of Dwarka, it was simply a disappearance from the eyes of the people there. It should not be misunderstood that his transcendental body, which is just suitable for the pastimes in the mortal world, is in any way inferior to his different expansions in the Vaikunthas, lokas. His body manifested in the material world is transcendental par excellence, in the sense that his pastimes in the mortal world excel his mercy displayed in the Vaikuntha lokas. In the Vaikuntha lokas, the Lord is merciful toward the liberated or nitya mukta living entities. But in his pastimes in the mortal world, he is merciful even to the fallen souls who are nitya bada or conditioned forever. The six excellent opulences which he displayed in the mortal world by the agency of his internal potency, Yogamaya, are rare even in the Vaikuntha lokas. All his pastimes are manifested not by the material energy, but by his spiritual energy. The excellence of his Rasalila at Vrindavan and his householder life with 16,000 wives is wonderful even for Narayan in Vaikuntha, and it is certainly so for other living entities within this mortal world. His pastimes are wonderful even for other incarnations of the Lord, such as Shri Ram, Nrisimha, and Varaha. His opulence is so super excellent that his pastimes were adored even by the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is not different from Lord Krishna himself. Translation again. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes are wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, his, Sri Krishna's transcendental body, is the ornament of all ornaments. Jai. So here's Krishna. So this is, Krishna's even enamored by his own beauty. So it mentioned Krishna's six opulences, and we don't have time to go through all of them. I'd just like to focus a little on beauty, because even Ananta Dev is glorifying Krishna's different qualities and beautiful attributes with his unlimited mouths, and he has unlimited time, and still he can't express them all. So what to speak of us? I could barely, in a few minutes, explain something maybe about his beauty. But just to mention a few of his six opulences. Of course, we know he's beautiful because he's beautifully eternally amongst all living entities in the spiritual and material worlds, in all societies and species. Actually, he's so beautiful that all the different species are even attracted to him. Not that just like you see there's a dog's attracted to a dog, or an eagle is attracted to another eagle, a human is attracted to a human, but all living entities, animals, everything are attracted to Krishna because he's so beautiful. And he's knowledgeable. We know his Bhagavad Gita, its knowledge has been going on and been handed down through time, and it's good. It's relevant in the past, relevant in the present, relevant in the future. It's not like the scientific knowledge that changes with their different theories every once in a while. Krishna's knowledge is eternal. And as far as his strength, we know Krishna, even as a child, as an infant, killed so many powerful demons. And you can see, we see a lot of powerful people lifting weights or whatever, but Krishna, he lifted Govardhan Hill. And then is known as Uttama Sloka. He's famous, as I mentioned, Ananta Sesha, with unlimited mouths, unlimited years. He still can't finish glorifying Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions in the fifth canto, actually, that someday the scientists will be able to count all the atoms in the universe, but still it won't be possible to count all Krishna's glories. And as far as his wealth, we know his wife is Lakshmi Devi, so Krishna owns everything. And his renunciation, with all this that he has, he's not attached. Just like when they were having the Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna washed all the feet of the guests. He wasn't proud of it, of who he was. He was humble, wanted to be a servant, even of his devotees and other living entities. And we know Ramchandra, he left home and went to the forest, completely detached. And even Lord Chaitanya, at the age of 25, he took sannyas. Or 24, wasn't it? Yeah. 24, he took sannyas. So this is Krishna. So Narada even said, no one can describe the glories of his beauty. But still, in the Brihadbhagavatamrita, Narada Muni tries to speak a little bit about that. And his beauty even amazes himself, Krishna. So he confirms that seeing him, the cows, the birds, even the bushes and the creepers and the trees, they became ecstatic. So this is Krishna, his chief among all living entities. No one can surpass him, equal him in all these six opulences. And so this is how he appears. And when he appears, as described in the purport, suitable for his pastimes. So in the human form, he comes with two arms instead of four arms. Or sometimes he may come in the form of a boar or a tortoise or whatever. He still has his six opulences. So here we see Krishna is so wonderful for everyone, including the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayan, that even Balaram became bewildered by Krishna's opulence and pastimes. And we see in the Brahma Vimoha Lila here that he was wondering, how is it possible that all these people here are more, they have more love for their children than you? They have more love for their calves than you. Because they didn't realize that actually that's Krishna. He expanded himself. So this is, Krishna's are so wonderful that even Balaram can become a little bit bewildered. So in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it's described there, there's a chapter on prema, love of God. And there's a few verses there, it's very nice. And it describes how no one, as I mentioned, can describe his glories and his beauty. So there's a nice, it's like a purport there I like to read. And then there's a few other verses I like to read there. It's very nice. Describes Krishna's, because we're going to discuss more about his beauty. So this is Narada Muni, as I mentioned. He was going to try to describe the beauty. So he's describing different opulences of Krishna. So in these verses from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, third canto, chapter 5, this is verses 108 to 111. And this is where he's going to try to describe the Lord's opulences. So in this particular verse, he's describing his beauty. So in the commentary there it says, the Narada speaks of that beauty because the beauty of Krishna shown during his appearance in Vrindavan had never before been seen in this world. No one was able to explain it in terms of previous experience. Uddhava describes that astounding beauty in our, he's quoting our verse that we read today. And he quotes the verse. How is the ornaments of all ornaments, ornament of all ornaments. So upon seeing Krishna, the moving and non-moving creatures of Vrindavan would show the symptoms of prema, including the sattvika ecstasies of horripilation, flood of tears, and so on. As the young gopis told Krishna at the beginning of their Rasleela, so they quote this verse from the gopis, and this is what they said. Dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet, drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all the three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the cows, birds, trees, and deer manifest ecstatic symptoms of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. So we're going to go to another verse there, in another chapter. Actually, it's the same chapter. This is just another verse. My dear boy, in beauty, character, virtues, and behavior, the women of Raja excelled even the supreme goddess of fortune. All women of respectable families worshipped their feet. Yet even so, Krishna's beauty robbed the women of Raja of their sobriety. So in the commentary here, this is Narada speaking still about Krishna's quality of beauty. And he's saying here, the commentary they're saying, Krishna's beauty shook the gopis' determination to uphold their religious principles. But not because the gopis were simply women, who by nature are supposedly unsteady. The gopis of Raja were reputable, cultured ladies in a respectable society. So they were not inclined to careless behavior. They were equal to Lakshmi, the best of women, and even better. They were more beautiful and more sublime in their gravity and shyness. They were more capable of making proper decisions, maintaining firm determination, and expertly dealing with all kinds of situations. And they were more competent in the various activities of worshiping their beloved. Narada therefore uses the interjection, hanta, indeed, to express his surprise and delight. So we're going to the next verse about his beauty. Seeing his beauty, people would curse Brahma, the creator of eyelids, and praise Indra, who had 1,000 eyes, and hanker for all their senses to become eyes. What extraordinary states would anyone not attain upon seeing his beauty? So in the commentary here, it's very nice. He says, Sri Gopala Dev's beauty not only stole the sobriety of the gopis, his dearmost girlfriends, but also drove other people to extraordinary states of consciousness. The Vrajavasis cursed Brahma for creating lids on their eyes that made it more difficult to see Krishna constantly. And even though Indra had committed many offenses against Krishna, he was deformed because of Gotama Rishi's curse. The Vrajavasis glorified him, for they admired his having 1,000 eyes on his body, eyes which he could enjoy seeing Krishna that much more. The Vrajavasis prayed that all their own senses change into eyes, so that with those eyes they could see Krishna even more, and no competing senses would distract their eyes from the sight of Krishna's beauty. Let's see. So the next verse. How can I describe the greatness of the land of Raja, where the personality of Godhead displayed his own beautiful form? He may possess the same transcendental nature everywhere, but even in his company, the devotees in other places don't feel the same ecstasy. So here, this is the last commentary I'll read. The beauty of Sri Krishna displays in Vrajabhumi is never seen anywhere else. No matter where he goes, his transcendental nature is changeless, and he is always the same person. But devotees in other places like Vaikuntha and Dwarka do not taste from seeing, him and being with him the same exquisite feelings of love as the Vrajavasis. Thus, we should understand that the personality of Godhead reveals selected aspects of his special greatness in particular times and places. And Vrajabhumi is supremely glorious. For one reason or another, Krishna chooses in some instances to show his eternal glories and in others to allow his personal energies to conceal them. Narada's sentiment to this effect was closely paralleled by the words Gopa Kumara had earlier heard on Janaloka from Pipalana Rishi. So he quotes the verse. And this is it. The Supreme Lord, by nature, the bestower of ecstasy, creates such unlikely situations to delight his devotees by showing them the greatness of devotional service. So this is where Narada concludes his description of Krishna's beauty in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita to Gopa Kumara. So the enchanting beauty of Krishna is described in this book. It's called the Radha Damodar Vilas by Vyasaki Das. And this is in one of the appendixes he did on the Sri Damodar Astakam. And this is how he describes it here. The attribute of his enchanting beauty, Rupa Visesha, is described next. He runs from Mother Yasoda. His earrings began to swing back and forth, Lasat Kundalam. The earrings naturally sport upon his cheeks as he plays in the courtyard of Mother Yasoda. All the ornaments that adorn the Lord have become super excellent by contact with his divine body. Yet these earrings have attained superiority overall by the great fortune of constantly kissing his divine cheeks while singing. They are glistening, Lasanti, due to being enriched with the effulgence from the Lord's complexion. So this is Krishna's beauty. And even here he refers to the verse that we read today about how Uddhava is describing Krishna's beauty as so supremely enchanting that even Krishna is attracted and the ornaments become beautiful being next to Krishna. And then in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a nice description of Lord Chaitanya when he was younger, but it reminds you of the same pastime of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. but this is an image just to give us the idea what it was like. So I'll just read a few verses from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And this is from the Adikanda, chapter 4. The Lord went out of the house at any time of the day, whether morning, noon, afternoon, or night. He regularly went to the neighborhood or the neighboring friends' houses and playfully stole things. He drank someone's milk, he ate someone else's rice, and he broke the pots if he could not find anything to take. If there was a child in the house, the Lord made him cry, and if someone saw him, he ran away. If by chance the Lord was caught, he fell at the person's feet in order to gain release. This is what he said. Please leave me this time. I will not come again. I promise. I won't steal again. Seeing the child's intelligence, everyone was astonished. They could not become upset. Rather, they loved him. Everyone showed more affection to him than their own sons. For the Lord stole everyone's heart just by his presence. See the beauty of Krishna. So this is the matchless quality of Krishna's sweetness in the form of Gaura Krishna. And this is, he was, you know, his beautiful sambit potency is so powerful that it attracts all transcendentally pure objects. So this actual particular area also refers to our verse today of referring to Krishna, how he attracts all transcendentally pure objects. So also in the Brihadbhagavatamrita, there's a nice description there in chapter 7, Jagat Ananda. It talks about the bliss of the worlds. And this is text 135. So these are the gopis. They're actually watching Krishna wrestle in the courtyard, in the wrestling arena of Kamsa. And this is what they said. Or I think, let's see, is this the gopis? Yeah. No, it's the women talking about, yeah, the women of Mathura. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. So this is nice. These are the women of Mathura. And this is as Krishna was entering the Kamsa's arena to wrestle with Chandra. And these are the ladies that are praising the gopis because, you know, they're always seeing Krishna in his beautiful forms. So this is in the commentary here I'd like to read. First, the ladies praise the gopis for being always able to see the beauty of Krishna's transcendental form. The Vedic scriptures explain various benefits to be gained by a variety of disciplines. But the women of Mathura have never heard of anyone receiving such a benefit as bestowed upon the gopis. What penances, religious duties, or meditation could enable one to attain such perfection? What tapas could the gopis of Raja have performed to earn the privilege of drinking Krishna's beauty with their mortal eyes? Directly relishing his beauty the way one relishes nectar with the tongue. Out of reverence for Krishna, at this moment, the city woman cannot utter his name, but can only refer to the son of Nanda as him. So it goes on and describes more and more. And describing this, it's a wonderful commentary. And then I'll just read the last paragraph. In stating that the gopis of Raja always enjoy the sight of Krishna's beauty, the woman speaking in the wrestling arena used the present tense. Pibanti. By this, they mean to say that the beauty of Krishna never actually abandons the gopis, for the gopis never fail to see him, even when he is physically absent. The gopis are the most fortunate women. We ladies of Mathura are not at all pious, because we can see him only at inauspicious times and places. There is no chance of our ever drinking the nectar of his beauty, with the same love and respect as the gopis. Just see that. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, there's a chapter 90. It's the summary of Krishna's glories. And in text number 47, they're mentioning just a few of the wonderful features of Lord Krishna's unique personality. And I'd like to read the verse and then just a few points from the purport there. The heavenly Ganges is a holy place of pilgrimage because her waters washed Lord Krishna's feet. But when the Lord descended among the Yadus, his glories eclipsed the Ganges as a holy place. Both those who hated Krishna and those who loved him attained eternal forms like his in the spiritual world. The unattainable and supremely self-satisfied goddess of fortune, for the sake of whose favor everyone else struggles, belongs to him alone. His name destroys all inauspiciousness when heard or chanted. He alone has set forth the principles of the various disciplic successions of the sages. What wonder is it that he, whose personal weapon is the wheel of time, relieve the burden of the earth? So in the purport there, they mention Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur. He sums up the 10th canto by mentioning these five special glories of Krishna, that even his expansions and plenary expansions and incarnations don't display. So here's five topics here, five special glories of Krishna. And they're kind of shown here in this image, these images. So first, Lord Krishna's reputation eclipsed that of the holy Ganges when he descended into the Yadu dynasty. Previous to this, Mother Ganges was the most sacred of all Tirthas, being the water that had bathed Lord Vamanadeva's lotus feet. Another river, the Jamuna, became even greater than the Ganges by contacting the dust from Krishna's lotus feet in the districts of Raja and Mathura. So you see Krishna in the boat in the Jamuna there. So this is what happened, is that this renowned Jamuna is Krishna's domain. It's hundreds of times greater than the Ganges. So, but Krishna comes and makes it even more. He eclipses that. So second, Lord Krishna gave liberation not only to his surrendered devotees, but also to those who consider themselves his enemies, as we see Krishna here in the bottom left. Devotees like the coward girls of Raja and others attained his personal association by entering into his eternal pleasure pastimes in the spiritual world, while inimical demons killed by him attained the Sayuja Mukti of merging into his divine form. When he was present on this earth, Lord Krishna's compassion extended to his family, friends, and servants, and also to his enemies and their families, friends, and servants. Great authorities like Brahma have mentioned this fact. And this is this quote: "My Lord, you have already given yourself to Putana and her family members simply because she dressed herself as a devotee." So we see. And then third, Goddess Lakshmi, Lord Narayan's constant companion, whom great demigods served menially to win her slight favor, was enabled to win the privilege of joining the intimate company of Lord Krishna's devotees in Vraja. Despite her eagerness to participate in the rasa dance and other pastimes enacted by Sri Krishna, and despite the severe austerity she underwent to achieve that end, she could not transcend her natural mood of reverence. The sweetness and intimacy Lord Krishna manifested in Vrindavan constitute a unique kind of opulence found nowhere else, even in Vaikuntha. So in this particular section here is referred to the verse that we read today also, how Krishna exhibited his strength in it by his spiritual potency and manifested a form just suitable for his pastimes in the material world. So fourth, talks about the name. The name of Krishna is superior to the name Narayan and those of all of Lord Krishna's other expansions. These two syllables, Krishna, combine together to destroy all inauspiciousness and illusion. When recited, the name Krishna becomes Shuddhamata. Shuddhamata, that is to say, the recitation of Krishna's name totally crushes, matnati, the excellence of all other spiritual practices described in the revealed scriptures, Shuddha. So this is what, just by once uttering the name of Krishna, you can attain the benefits recited by Lord Vishnu's 1,000 names, 3 times. So fifth, Lord Krishna solidly reinstated Dharma, the bull of religion, on his 4 legs of compassion, austerity, cleanliness, and truth. Thus, Dharma could once again become Gotra, the protector of the earth. Sri Krishna also established the religious function of Govardhan Puja to honor his favorite hill, the cows and the brahmanas. He also became the hill himself, assuming its form to accept the cowherd's offerings. Moreover, he cultivated the dharma of loving nature of Raja's divine cowherds, whose love for him has never been equaled. So here, Lord Shiva, in his chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, he describes Krishna's beauty there as very auspicious. And he quotes the same verse as Srila Prabhupada quotes, the Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas, how amongst all living beings, Krishna is the best. And just to mention here, I'd like to read a few descriptions of Krishna's beauty that he describes in just a few verses. My dear Lord, I wish to see you exactly in the form that your very dear devotees worship. You have many other forms, but I wish to see your form that is especially liked by the devotees. Please be merciful upon me to show me that form, for only that form worshipped by the devotees can perfectly satisfy all the demands of the senses. So here it describes more in detail. The Lord's beauty resembles a dark cloud during the rainy season. As the rainfall glistens, his bodily features also glisten. Indeed, he is the sum total of all beauty. The Lord has 4 arms and an exquisitely beautiful face with eyes like lotus petals, a beautifully highly raised nose, a mind-attracting smile, a beautiful forehead, and equally beautiful and fully decorated ears. So he goes on describing his curly hair and how it's flying in the air and how there's saffron pollen coming and his glistening earrings and all these different, you know, jewelry and things. So, and it talks about his bodily features, shoulders like a lion, you know, very dark chest and his jewel and his abdomen. All these things are being described. But we're running out of time here, so I'll just go to the last slide. And again, we describe Padam Padam Bhushanam Bhushanam Mangam. So Krishna is a supreme ultimate ornament of all ornaments. So just like whatever in relationship we're with Krishna, just like we have flowers, we decorate the deities. But actually the flowers don't decorate Krishna. Krishna is actually decorating the flowers. So by coming in contact with Krishna. So just like we think you sit on the Vyasasan, you're making the Vyasasan beautiful. But no, actually the Vyasasan is making us beautiful when we come to speak. And so Krishna's, just like his ornaments become beautiful by his contact with his body. So his necklace, it's not like it makes Krishna beautiful, but it becomes, the necklace becomes more beautiful. So in the same way, Krishna comes in the form of ISKCON, and we may be proud in thinking that, you know, I joined Krishna and I'm making ISKCON beautiful. You know, I'm making ISKCON glorifying because I'm here. No, actually, you're glorified by becoming in contact with your guru and Krishna. So this is the jewel. So actually, Lord Shiva, one of the prayers we skipped over, one of his last prayers is that he just wanted to be in the association of devotees and be under the guidance of a spiritual master. So this is the real gem. The real gem is the dust at the lotus feet of the pure devotee. If we could get that dust come in contact with that dust, the guru, that's what makes us glorified. ISKCON is what makes us glorified. Because many people will come and go. They will take advantage of ISKCON. They become glorified. It's not that because we're here, we're making ISKCON glorified. No, we come to associate with Krishna so we can become glorified and beautiful. So I'd like to end there, and maybe if you have any comments or questions. Yes. Jai. Yes, ask not what ISKCON can do for you, but ask what you can do for ISKCON. But actually, ISKCON's doing a lot for you, too, just by becoming in contact. Okay, well, thank you for your kind attention and patience. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
I don't know.